You pray real hard for me this morning. James chapter 1, look at verse 12. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God, we love you. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, God, that one day, God, we'll not remember what you forgot. But Lord, while we're here, we know we have a struggle. We know that there's a struggle in the flesh, God. We know that there's a struggle inside of us, God. And Lord, help us right now, God. Lord, I pray, God, you just burden hearts. Lord, help us to realize the need today. And we'll praise you for all you do, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember Preacher Earl Hanna gave an illustration one time. He said, fighting the sin is almost like, he said he heard an old Indian chief say, it's almost like when he got saved, he said, it's almost like there's two entities inside of me. There's a white dog and a black dog fighting on the inside of me. That's the flesh and the goodness. That's the good and the evil on the inside of us fighting. And somebody said, well, which one wins? He said, whichever one I feed. I want to preach a little while on this thought, the consequence of sin. The consequence of sin. I had to go back and kind of look this up this morning. I remembered it in my mind, but I went back and looked it up. Newton's third law. Kind of get some of y'all in back to your high school days. Newton's third law says something to this effect. Every action has an opposite and equal reaction. Amen? That's common sense. And when, I know there ain't a whole lot of common sense left today, but that's just common sense. So everything we do, every action we take has an opposite and equal reaction. It's the same in the spirit world, amen? It's the same in church. It's the same on your job. It's the same in your family. The consequences of sin. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20 says this, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That counts you out. So don't sit here this morning and think, well, he's preaching to everybody else. No, I'm preaching to Brother Ed. I'm preaching to Kevin. I'm preaching to Andrew. I'm preaching to Matt this morning. I'm preaching to Jackie. I'm preaching to the preacher this morning. For all have sinned. Preacher Tommy Bryson, the one that I heard say first, all means all, and that's all means. Amen. Let's look at Adam and Eve. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Everything was all right till then. Genesis chapter 3, verse 23 says this, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and the flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. In other words, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, there was a reaction that took place. Understand this, Satan did not necessarily lie to her. Satan ain't got to lie to you to get you to sin. Satan, he said, when you eat this fruit, you're going to be like God. You're going to know good from evil. Yes, I understand that. But what Satan wants us to do, Satan wants us to look at what we can't have. There was one tree in the garden that was off limits. There was one tree in the garden that God said, do not touch. There was one tree in the garden that God said, do not eat. But all the hundreds of other trees, Greg, that they had access to, Satan wants you to concentrate on that one thing that you can't have. But when you put your hand to it and you put it to your mouth, I'm telling you, there's going to be a reaction. The consequence of sin. The Bible says that Moses was one of the meekest men to ever live. Moses was a great leader. If you go to Israel today and you mention the name of Moses, I mean, he is held in high regard, as he should be. Amen? But the Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 20, verse 7, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth its water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, and thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. And Moses took the rock from before the Lord as he had commanded, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. Got a little angry, didn't he? Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hands, and with the rod he smote the rock twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And if we stop right there, that would be a good story, but that's not where it stops. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me and the children in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Moses had done everything that God had told him to do. Moses had not been perfect, but Preacher Thad, Moses had done everything God told him to do. God said, I want you to go before the congregation. I want you to speak to that rock. They had already struck the rock one time, Brother Jackie. That is symbolic of Jesus. He was struck at Calvary, but he'll never be struck again, amen? Understand something. When he went and struck that rock, he went totally against what God told him to do. Amen. Christian, look up here at me. When you go against what the Word of God says, and when you go against what God tells you to do, there will be consequences. Moses had done everything, got right to the brink. And God said, you ain't going in because you disobeyed me. Now, I believe with all my heart, Adam and Eve's in heaven. I believe with all my heart, Moses is in heaven. But there's consequences to sin. I thought about it on the way to church this morning. There have been times, Brother David, that I, as the pastor of this church, hindered the ministry of this church by things I've said, things I've thought. If we'll be honest, there's probably been times that Brother David, as a deacon, has hindered the ministry of this church by things he said and things he thought. And Brother Robert and Brother Skip and Brother Tommy and all the deacons that went before them, there have probably been times that Sunday school teachers hindered the work of this. Maybe there's times that church members hindered the work of this church because of things you said or you thought. There's consequences to sin. I don't care if you saved or lost, there's consequences to sin. Let's look at King Saul. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, and Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I will remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how when he laid wait for him in the way and he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. He said, you kill everything. You kill everything. Sometimes when we come down to an altar, Brother Melvin, God gets in our minds and God gets in our thoughts and says, I want you to destroy everything of the flesh. I want you to get it all done. And I'm telling you, hey, if we ain't careful, Brother Johnny, we'll lay aside this and we'll lay aside that. We'll lay aside this and we'll lay aside that. And we'll do this. But we'll say, hold on a minute. How many of Christians today still fighting things that you should have been over with 20 years ago? We're fighting those pet sins. We're fighting those things, those old habits that still hinder us. When God told you, when you got down on this altar, to kill everything of the flesh, and some of us are like King Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 says this, and Saul said, hath the Lord as great delight in, and Samuel said, hath the Lord had great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Let me stop right there. I don't care how good you think it is. If God told you to get rid of it, you better get rid of it, because God wants obedience more than sacrifice. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken the fat of rams. For rebellion, this is what Christians do when they try to hang on to those little things. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and adultery. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. They saved the best of the sheep. They saved the best of the asses. They even left the king alive because he said, we want to sacrifice this to the Lord. God don't want your sacrifices. He wants obedience. What about King David? Greatest king of Israel that ever lived. David is still reverenced today as the greatest king that Israel ever had. We all know the story how in 2 Samuel chapter 11, that when a time for battle, at a time for war, David sends out the army and don't go with them. And the Bible says over in the midnight hour, David gets up on the rooftop and starts looking around, and he looks over and sees a woman that was not his. The bad thing about this is it was one of his mighty men's wife, one of his close bodyguards. This is somebody David knew. And David sent for her and took her and lay with her. And everything was all right for a little while. I believe it was Preacher Mike Haynes when I first heard say, don't mistake God's patience for God's blessing. Let me tell you something. You look up at me real good this morning. If you got sin in your life and the hammer ain't fell yet, it ain't because it ain't on the way down. She sent and tells David, I'm with child. David's mind gets to thinking, what can I do? What can I do to protect? I'm the king. I don't want nobody to know what I've done. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. I sat on the church pew. I don't want nobody to know what I've been doing. I teach Sunday school. I don't want nobody to know what I've been doing. Let me tell you, we already know everybody in here ain't no good for nothing. We already know that. But David is trying to protect himself. So David sends for Uriah, her husband, to come back in. David trying to give him ample time to go down there and be with his wife. And that way when it comes out that she's pregnant, they'll think that it's her husband's child. But Uriah's a better man than David is, and he won't do it. So David in the end up winds up putting him to death just to protect himself. How many Christians don't care who they destroy as long as they look good? I'll destroy the church as long as I look good. I'll destroy my family as long as I look good. I don't care who I hurt as long as I look good. But in 2 Samuel chapter 12, God sends old preacher like David was talking about in Sunday school this morning. Kind of had a backbone like a saw log. You know, it takes a lot of brass to come to the king and say, "You idiot." The Bible tells us that John the Baptist went to Herod, told him, "You ain't supposed to have, that ain't your wife." But God, I like the way God used this. Nathan was a man. Nathan was a preacher, Brother Donald, that had a little bit of sense about him. Nathan comes in, and God has already laid it on his heart, and he tells David a story. He said there was this one man that had this one little ewe lamb, and he raised this little ewe lamb up from a baby, and it was his most prized possession. He had it, and then there was a wayfaring man that came along and took that little lamb and killed that little lamb for just to have a feast, and David got angry. David got mad. David said, "Ever who did that's going to die." And he said, "You the man." Basically what God, he said, "God give you everything you ever wanted. All you had to do was, it was right there at your fingertips. And Uriah had one thing that God, one thing that he loved more than anything else, and that was that wife that you took from him." What was the consequence? Nathan told him, "You're not going to die, but the sword won't never leave your house." If you go back and study it, the Old Testament law said when you did something, when you took one lamb, you had to repay four. David had four sons that died awful deaths. David had a daughter that was raped. I'm just telling you, the sword never left it. Consequences of sin. You go ahead and live like you want to. You go ahead and think you're getting away with it. But I'm telling you right now, on the authority of God's word, it's coming. It's coming. King Solomon. We know the story of King Solomon, how that when he was old, he departed from God. Served other gods because of his wives. Let me ask you a question, folks. What are you doing? What are you doing? Do we think we can hide things from God? Do we think we can get away? You know what was amazing to me when I was on the highway patrol? We would, just to let some of y'all know, troopers are bonded through the state. In other words, when I would stop somebody, Brother Skip, on the side of the road, if they wanted to pay their fine right then, I was bonded through the state. I could take their fine. I could receipt them on that ticket and let them go. They never had to come back to court. It's amazing to me, Brother David, how many them idiots on the highway patrol thought they could steal bond money. It's amazing to me. I mean, some of them, Brother David, they would get away with it for a little while, but it's eventually going to catch up to you. Your sin's eventually going to catch up to you. Everybody I mentioned today in this sermon, but one was able to get forgiveness. The only one that I mentioned in this whole message that did not get forgiveness was King Saul. King Saul kept right on until he committed suicide because of the guilt that's eating at his conscience and because of the sin that he would not get under the blood. What is it this morning that you got going on in your life? Oh, let me tell you, somebody here this morning can see it coming. You can see how things have already started deteriorating. You can see how things have already started going downhill. You see it coming. And you're doing everything you can to try to stave it off. But I'm telling you right now, on the authority of God's word, you can act like David if you want to. You can try to do this and try to do that to hide it. But the prophet of God is coming. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. 1 John. I'm going to ask Gavin and Olivia to come back up. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says this. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. What are you trying to hide this morning? What are you trying to hide this morning? Let me tell you something. As far as I know right now, Brother Allen, everything, and I would say this about most everybody in this building, everything's all right between us and God. As far as I know right now, Jackie, I have no unconfessed sin right now. Greg, right, I don't have any unconfessed sin right now that I know of, Brother Robert, that would hinder me when I stand before God. Tomorrow might be different. That's why I say my favorite verse now is 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I use that more than John 3, 16. I use that more than any other verse in the Bible. How many of us right now are still thinking about things? Is that, I want them to sing this song, when I can't remember what God forgot. I'll be honest with you. Every once in a while, the old devil comes back by. Says, hey, you remember this and this? And I wish I could say no. But I have to say, yeah, I remember that. The old devil says, I do too. But then when you look to Jesus, He's forgot it. He's forgot. And I'm telling you right now, you listen. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever's in your life right now, whatever's going through on in your life right now, if you'll get on this altar before you walk out of this building, Jesus will be forgot it. Amen. But you have got to do something about it. I go back to I told you about this many, many times in sermons, and I used this just this past week. I was watching a movie one time. A secular movie, I don't remember what it was, but at the end of it, there was a man dying in a alley. Somebody was holding his head in their lap. They said something about it. I think it was a priest or a priest said, won't you ask for forgiveness? And they looked up at him and said this, forgiveness is a funny thing. God can't even do it if you won't let Him. If you won't let Him, He can't forgive you. But if you'll get on this altar, you'll fall into the arms of a loving God. That knew you were going to mess up. That knew you could not be perfect. That knew you were just going to be as sorry as you are. Myself included. But made a way. Through Jesus Christ. That we could get forgiveness. If you would bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. God, You know every need right now, God.